Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548. And we have Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas with us online right now. Inshallah, just to remind our listeners that our lines are open, 854-1548. If anybody has any other questions you would like to ask anonymously, you can SMS us on 0823565988, or you can email us on air@radioislam.co.za. That mobile number once more is 0823565988. We have Mufti Sahib online right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mufti Sahib?
Alhamdulillah.
JazakAllah for joining us. And we have a few questions that were coming in already on the cell phone as well as on the email here in front of me. We have one question that somebody asked me yesterday, Mufti Sahib. It was a question concerning the Qurbani and Udhiyah. A person says, if you are sending shares to a different country to make Qurbani, that is, and Eid is in that country before hours or one day after hours, the rule was we should make Qurbani after Eid Salah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In fact, if we remember that last week, this was the concluding remarks of mine towards the end of the program, where I highlighted the masala concerning the time factor. The ulama of Gujarat in Bharuch gathered about 50 muftis and issued a ruling which I'm going to be mentioning, and also I have now been informed that Mufti Taqi Osmani, Rahmat Barakatuhum, also is of that opinion, and the ulama of Pakistan also, that the law will rotate around the person, not on the animal. For example, we in South Africa, we had Eid on Sunday. That means our day of Qurbani started from Sunday after Eid Salah. Now, if we had given our Uziya Qurbani to be done in Malawi, India, Pakistan, wherever, then the agent, the deputy of that person must make the Qurbani after our Eid Salah, which we have performed in South Africa on Sunday. If it is done before that, then it is not valid. Then, when our 3 days expires and someone decides to make the Qurbani Uziya in another country for that person in our country, then that also is not valid. So we learned three things. One is that the time must be when the time of Qurbani becomes wajib upon the person. Simple. Salat of Zuhr is performed when Salat of Zuhr becomes wajib upon the person. Hajj becomes obligatory when the person goes there and now he is going to perform Hajj at a specific time, place. And the person is born on Eid day, Sadqatul Fitr will become necessary if that person is Sahib Amal. Not before that, then a person fasting becomes necessary on a person when the month of, when the time of fasting comes. So similarly, the Qurbani, the Uziya, will become wajib upon the person on each day. So if a person does the Qurbani for that person prior to that, that means he is doing something which is not compulsory as yet for the person in South Africa. This law has to be understood properly and implemented. Unfortunately, most of the agents who undertake and become wakils of to do and execute the Qurbani, they do not understand this law. They should be educated about this law.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. We have one call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jesus.
I want to speak to Maulana, please.
Okay.
I want to find out this husband and wife. They've got a house. Now the title deed is husband and wife's name. And they've got no children. So how do they make their will according to Sharia?
Okay. That's all you have?
Yeah, and the husband's got brothers.
Gee?
The husband's got brother
the
and
husband's
a sister.
The husband's got brothers and a sister.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. JazakAllah for that. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Let's take the next call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Gee?
I'd like to ask Mr. Saab that during the days of Ayyam al-Tashriq, the 3 days,
gee?
And you're not allowed to fast.
Yes.
So if a person is used to fasting the 13th, 14th, and 15th, what happens then? Secondly, Mufti Saab just mentioned about giving a qurbani out of the country. And what happens if you do it for a deceased? Will that matter?
Okay, fine.
I'll listen.
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum. Ji Mufti Saab, the first question. Let's take the second call as first, Ayyam al-Tashriq.
Okay. Let's do the first one first, right?
Okay, fine.
JazakAllah. According to some of the ulama ikram, that they are saying that we should adopt the humbly mazhab, which has got a clause called Umrah. The clause is called Umrah. And where it is drafted in a manner that the husband will maintain the house and let the wife also stay there in his lifetime. And if he has to pass away, the ownership will go into the wife's milkiyat. And if the wife passes away, then he maintains the ownership. So this clause can be written out in a manner where she is safeguarded, because she is worried and perturbed that in the demise of her husband, she may be left on the road. So there is a clause out now. If the person can email me, I will send you the wording of that clause. Gee. Concerning another one like this was in one of the programs which we forgot to answer, that if you are married wrongly, then you meaning that you are married nuptial marriage, then go to a lawyer and he will reverse that marriage and bring it in accordance with Sharia, anti-nuptial contract minus the accrual system. The other, the question of Ayyam al-Tashriq, that yes, definitely you should not fast. If you are habitual to fasting, then when the law of Sharia comes that you should not fast, then alhamdulillah, by adhering to the law of Sharia, we will be rewarded. So by mere obedience to the law of Sharia, tremendous reward is there. Do not say that I am habitual, because that habitual fast is a nafil thing. And the law of Sharia is an injunction and a commandment that we should follow, that not fasting during this Ayyam al-Tashriq. So it is superior to follow the law of Sharia than to engage in an individualistic nafil action. And what was the last one?
Last question was about the qurbani and the deceased.
Why I explained the masala of time, and now they have given a nafil sadaqah or nafil qurbani. Nafil qurbani can be made, and the time factor does not apply to it. The time factor does not apply to the nafil qurbani, that nafil sacrifice, and the nafil charity by sacrificing an animal. That will not be affected in any way.
JazakAllah for that, Mr. Saab. We have another two callers, I think, online. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Mufti Saab, I'd like to ask the question.
Yes.
That if there's two brothers in a business, and the one went for Hajj and taken some money and hasn't said what amount it is, and now the other brother wants to go, was supposed to go this year, but with the restriction of the, with the quota and things like that, they didn't get to going. And does he take the same amount that the first brother took, or must he take extra amount? Right, that's the one. And the other one I like to know is if, let's just say, a crook comes in and steals in your house, right? A certain amount has been stolen. That is the two, it's stolen from the brother's house, but it's the money of the business where the two brothers were. Does he pay the other brother out the amount, half the money that goes out from that?
Okay, so that's all you have? JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum.
Malala, you're writing, Malala?
GM writing.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, let's take the next call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Jibai.
When Qanat is a person who's a musafir and makes imamat, and afterwards he realized he made a mistake, must he repeat the namaz or the muqtadis must repeat the namaz?
Okay, so let's take the first question. Sup.
Okay, I got the first question.
GM.
Now, just as a preamble to the answer, that we appeal to all those who are doing business transactions, have it written, number one. Secondly, when especially you're doing business transactions with a partner, then have it written and witnessed. Thirdly, especially more so when you are doing business transactions with a family member, brother, sister, uncle, father, son, cousin, all that must be written properly, clearly, because due to money, unfortunately, we have many disputes, quarrels, court cases, ugly scenes, abuse, vulgarity. Now, the matter has reached here because it was not written. So they have to now negotiate that you went for Hajj. Am I entitled to go for Hajj? If you have specified Hajj, then the money at that time, for example, that brother went for a B-class Hajj, then this brother will be entitled to go for a B-class Hajj with the inflation taken into account. But if it was stipulated that, no, I am going to go for Hajj and I'm taking 40,000 rand from the business, then 40,000 will be given to this brother here, that you go and make your Hajj in 40,000. So that is why they have to sit down and by like good brothers and establish whether Hajj was mentioned or the specific amount was mentioned. Upon that they can make the decision. Second day they said someone came in the house and stole the money. Now, if it was a, unfortunately, I have to use this word, valid robbery, meaning that it was definitely a robbery and it was not out of negligence, then there is the loss of one is the loss of both, meaning that where there was the shop money or the business money kept and it was stolen, the entire amount, then both shareholders, in this case, both brothers will it will be stated that money went from both of them, not from one of them.
So the last question was, Musafir making Salah and he makes a mistake. As an Imam, if he makes a mistake, must he repeat the Salah or only the Muqtadis?
Oh, the Musafir, he was the Imam.
Deji.
Right. Now, if he makes a mistake, what he means, and he never
rectify himself.
That means his salat was batil or fasid. If his salat is batil, because he's the imam, then he obviously will have to repeat the salah, and those behind him will have to repeat the salah.
JazakAllah for that. Taking the next question now, SMS question. We'll take the one, two SMS questions first. What is the sunnah method of keeping a beard, and is it makruh to shave the mustache?
First of all, to clip the mustache, to remove the mustache, by any means in this age, the ulama have stated, by any means is permissible. So it will not be classified as detested to shave off the moustache. as far as the beard, it is the sunnah of the Anbiya. All Anbiya alayhi salam kept the beards. By this word sunnah, we do not mean jurisprudic sunnah. Like for example, Qurbani, the hadith is famous that sunnat abikum Ibrahim, it is a sunnat of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam has stated, the word he used is sunnah, but jurisprudically speaking, it is wajib for the Hanafis, sunnat muakida for the Shafis. Now, although the word sunnah has been used, but it is wajib jurisprudically speaking. Similarly, the beard is sunnah, way of the Anbiya, but wajib, one fist length. And it is stated that Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu should cut Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beard when it was one fist. So to keep it more than one fist is not proven. We should keep it one fist. That has been proven. All four out of four imams unanimously say it is wajib, one fist is wajib, and haram to shave.
JazakAllah for that. We have another caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Maulana. My question is, Salatul, when you recite the Quran, to Sajda, Salatul Sajda, what do you recite in the Sajda?
When you make Salatul, what did you say, brother?
Oh, I got it.
Okay, fine. Is that all you have?
Yes.
Okay.
The normal Tasbihat that you read in your normal Sajda, that is the same Tasbihat that you will read in your Sajda at Tilawat. And concerning the beard, if the person goes to our website, alislam.co.za, there are numerous articles under the section of fiqh concerning beard, our own articles, translated books expounding the important significance and Shari legal ruling concerning the beard.
JazakAllah for that. We have another question on the screen in front of us here. If a woman is 45 years of age and not married, is there a dua or something that she must read? She can read.
What I will have to do for you, Mawlana Ahmad, is email you on Kitab, or if that person has got a email, then they can email us muftie@mweb.co.za. Then inshallah I will forward one whole Kitab. It is called Seeking of a Spouse. It is an unpublished translated work of ours, and wherein a lot of formulas and recitations have been stipulated out of experience of the elders, that either the boy should read or the girl when they are seeking a spouse.
JazakAllah for that. Let's take the next question. If there is a married man that wants to go out with you, sister says, and he doesn't want his wife to find out, and when you tell him that he must have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells you that you must enjoy life. What happens to a person like that?
First of all, you should fear Allah Ta'ala. Then how are you allowing a married man to talk to you? That you are saying that man should fear Allah Ta'ala. That he wants to take you out and he is saying you that you must not tell his wife, etc. How are you communicating with him? You are saying he should fear Allah Ta'ala. We are saying you should fear Allah Ta'ala. That how are you allowing yourself to be spoken to by a married man? And how are you allowing yourself to be coerced by a married man? And how are you allowing a married man to sweet talk you, that he wants to openly date you and commit a major sin? So both of you are sinners at the moment. Both of you should fear Allah Ta'ala. Both of you should repent.
JazakAllah for that. We have another SMS question saying, Assalamu alaikum, a boy and girl going out, they are not married. The girl went for Hajj and keeps on SMSing this boy on this Mubarak journey. Is this allowed in Sharia?
Same thing. That how come boy and girl are now talking to each other, having this illicit, haram, illegal, Shari, illegal relationship? This is sin upon sin. and to communicate, and now going to the blessed lands, and from the blessed lands SMS, the girl is going for Hajj, and she is on the, becoming a Hajjani, and there she is talking to this boy here. This boy should think carefully that has he decided right in his life, that if he is so-called wife-to-be, if he is not wife-to-be, then this is completely haram. And if it is even girlfriend, that is haram also. No legality, no leeway for that. And if he is busy concentrating on him here and promoting and enhancing and lightening this haram relationship instead of worrying about a hajj and a tawaf and a ibadat there, then can you imagine what's going to happen ahead? He should think seriously of terminating this relationship. In fact, in the light of Sharia, he should terminate it immediately.
JazakAllah for that, Mr. Saab. Let's take the next question. We have a call online. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Jesus.
I need to. I had an insurance and endowment policy, right? And 2 years ago, I divorced my wife, right? It was in my wife's name and myself. That if anything happened to me, they'll pay her out. Anything happened to her, they'll pay me out, right? Okay, so 2 years ago, I divorced her, and now the insurance paid out. But they've given half the money to her. So, and you know what? I was married only according to Islamic rights, and I got an anti-nuptial contract with her. So is she entitled to any of this money of them?
Okay, brother, it's all, the, with all you
okay.
have. JazakAllah for that. Assalamu alaikum.
Upon drawing of that contract, that policy, and that endowment policy, etc., and when you drew it, then at that time, the benefactor was your ex-wife, and she is entitled to the money that was paid out to her.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Let's take the next question now. We have an SMS question saying, when does the final time of Qurbani end? Is it Hanafi Asr or Shafi Asr time?
Hanafi Asr.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Taking the next one, what must a wife do if a non-mahram woman sends the husband gifts?
Is it a vase?
It is a vase? Is it a vase?
Yeah.
nothing related. Break it on his head.
Maybe frying pan or something. First of all, that she should talk to her husband, explain to her husband that this is absolutely not according to Sharia. This is a haram activity, and she is fully entitled in the light of Sharia to trace that lady and to talk to that lady and tell this lady that, listen, you, what you are doing is absolutely haram, and you cannot send my husband gifts. You got no right to do this. This husband is my husband, not yours, and you should not strike up a illicit haram relationship up with my husband. So she should be quite firm with that lady if she can trace, and also explain to her husband that this is completely un-Islamic, that he must get gifts from non-mahram ladies.
Taking the next question.
She can explain to her husband
that
how if some man has to give her gifts, how will he like it?
Okay, before we take the call, just to remind our listeners, lines are open, 8541548, mobile number 08235655988. Let's take that call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I just wanted to ask Mufti Saab that my father passed away, and that before he passed away, he told my mother that the two cars that he have in the house is Mara. And my mother, and he is written down also that before he passed away, he made his mind too good. And he was very sick.
So the father, I can hear you very clear, he's breaking up. The father said that the house and the cars belong to your mother.
Yes.
Okay.
And he was written down by somebody also.
Okay.
But he never managed to sign it because he was very sick.
Okay, fine.
And then in the house, both of them were put together. And in
the documents are both my mother and my father's name.
Okay. JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum. Jim,
I get the question, and I understand it that he, in his marz al-maut, in the ailment sickness that led and resulted in his demise, and during that time he gave the house and two cars, etc., to his wife, that is not a legal distribution or a shari valid distribution in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
JazakAllah for the Mufisab. Let's take the next question now. Assalamu alaikum, Mufisab. Is it permissible to wear a sari?
See, concerning the sari, that understand this falls under one discussion called shiar or chief symbols in Islam, characteristics in Islam. And this will come under that hadith, Man tashabba bi qawmi, that whosoever imitates a nation, now tashabbu fil Islam, resembling others. Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has written one kitab, Tashabbu fil Islam, so in which he has explained certain principles about this hadith. It's a very interesting kitab, and someone should translate it, where he has mentioned many academic proofs and discussions and some very interesting points. Now, to summarize, in India, let us take it, in one province of India, hypothetically speaking, sari is only utilized by one religious denomination. And when you see a lady in sari, then you automatically know that this is from one religious denomination. It is a symbol of that religious denomination. Then in that case, in that province, the Muslim ladies will not wear the sari. But in another province, where that everybody, Muslim, non-Muslim, of any denomination, all of them wear saris, and there is, this sari is not a specific, stipulated, identified item of any religious denomination, then in that area the ladies can wear sari, but obviously they will wear the sari not exposing their bellies, and also they will not wear the sari outside, obviously, because once the lady leaves the confines of a house, she should be clad in hijab. So the permissibility in those areas where the sari is not specified to a religious denomination, it will be permissible. But obviously, within the confines of the house, in the presence of ladies, and covered, the body will be covered properly, not exposed like how they normally wear the saris. Going outside, the female will cover her entire body.
JazakAllah for that, Mufisab. We have another question coming through. Okay, this question says, Mufisab, you are speaking about the sari. What about the kurtas that have slits? Don't the non-Muslims to wear this also in India and Pakistan?
The kurta, Muslim wear it, non-Muslim wear it, and the kurta design of the non-Muslim, they wear it also, and it is slightly different design from the Muslim. However, hypothetically speaking, if they also use a kurta which has got a split, then it is no problem. Why? Because the Muslim keeps a beard. Certain groups in India, for example, that it is part of their religious actions that they also keep beards. So it doesn't mean because they keep beards, now we must shave off our beards. We wear the kurta with a split or without the split, with a slit or without the slit. If they adorn it, it doesn't mean now we have to abandon it. the kurta, it is permissible to wear it with the slit, without the slit. The discussion, academic summary discussion of the kurta is that it is permissible to be worn above the ankles, better, higher, best, higher, meaning best between the knee and the ankle, but permissible above the ankle, with a slit or without a slit.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. Let's take the next question now. If I am working for someone and he sells fireworks, am I allowed to take the wages that he pays because the money is all put together?
It is permissible to take your wage from that money.
Next question. If I recite Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or said Kalima or Astaghfar, is it permissible for a deceased person?
Say that again.
If I recite the word, said Kalima or Astaghfar, is this permissible for the deceased person?
See, you cannot seek forgiveness for a deceased person, but you can make Isa alayhi sawab for that person. Now, for example, the Kalima, the third Kalima, or the first Kalima, it is stated, for example, you'll see this in Fatawa Darul Diyobat also, that to recite 70,000 times the first Kalima, it is good to do so and pass the Risale Sawab to the deceased, the elders' practice. Now, to recite the third Kalima, one or many, or in abundance, and then make Risale Sawab to the deceased, for the deceased, that is good, rewarding.
JazakAllah for that. Can we give sadaqah to a non-Muslim?
If it is not wajib sadaqah. By wajib sadaqah we mean that a person, for example, made a vow and he broke it, made a pledge and broke it, was fasting and now has to give fidya or kafara, or sadaqatul fitr, which is wajib for Hanafis to give to the poor people, or zakat. So wajib sadaqat should be given to poor, needy, deserving Muslims. Nafil, the sadaqah which is optional, voluntarily, can be given to anybody, Muslim, non-Muslim, male, female, young, old, rich, poor, can be given to anybody. Nawafil sadaqah is like lillah, is in the order of lillah, it can be given to anybody.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. Take the next question now. As part of hygiene in Islam, would it be a sin to purchase products for skincare that proves a bit costly to retain a youthful look?
Provided you can afford it, and provided you do not go into debt, and provided you don't take a loan, and provided you do not indulge in any haram earning activities to fund that, and provided you do not put pressure upon your parents who may be under financial constraints that they must buy you these products. If you can afford it, shari legally, and you are getting that money from legal sources, from halal sources, without any stress and duress, without any debt and load, then you may do so. Remember, I am putting a lot of preconditions for the purchase of this item.
JazakAllah for that. We have another question, SMS question, saying, what should one do with the ihram after completing the Hajj?
Bring it back home, wash it nicely, and if some relative of yours is going for Hajj, give it to them. If some person who is so-called poor is going for Hajj, give it to them. If Allah Ta'ala takes you for Umrah, you can use it again. If Allah Jalla Majdahu takes you back for Hajj, you can utilize it.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. Let's take the call of us. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, brother.
Yes. Good question. Kurbani meat I've kept in a butcher.
Okay.
And the butcher's fridges went off and the meat got spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
What is the outcome of that?
Okay. Jazakallah.
Assalamu
alaikum. Jimut Sat.
Inshallah, you will get the full reward for making gurbani.
Inshallah.
And take the meat, because it is not good for human consumption. Do not, some people think, no, you must now feed it to the animals. When it is not good for human consumption, do not even feed it to the animals even. Allah Ta'ala has given the animals rights also. Take that meat and bury it. But inshallah, Allah Jalla Majdahu will give you full reward for your qurbani.
Inshallah, Jazakallah for that. Taking the next question, is it permitted to write fiction stories based on dreams for others to read?
It is permissible to do so. However, that we should not, in those fiction stories, write about evil and write about those things that are contrary to the Islamic belief. Because many of these dreams which people these days dream are completely contrary to Islamic basic fundamental belief structure. So whatever you write should be vetted by a good alim, so that you do not write about those things which borders on blasphemy and kufr and shirk, and you do not write things which disturb or harm or injure or distort or concoct the correct Islamic belief structure. That is most important, because people unfortunately have some weird dreams, and many a times these dreams are contrary to sahih, correct, valid Islamic belief structure. So definitely, on one side it is permissible. The other side, it has to be vetted by a good alim.
JazakAllah for that, Muftisab. Let's take the next call online. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Yes. My question is, if you are on swaps on the mosque, and then maybe it's about two swaps. Now you found maybe one swap, the front swap, maybe one barrel with a problem when you move about maybe two lakah, then you move out. Now it means there's space there. What you can do, the behind brother, what he must do? He must go to fill the swap in the front, or what he must do? He must just leave like that? What to do? Okay, JazakAllah.
JazakAllah. What's you?
Yeah, I got it.
Gee, okay.
That person must move forward, and he can just step forward, he can walk forward, and fill the gap.
JazakAllah for that. What's up? One question. You got any birds at all?
Birds?
Gee.
Why?
Okay, we have got a question. It says, Assalamu alaikum, could Muftisab please give me a few good names for a bird? I have been told that Hudhud is a good name.
Well, keep it then. Alhamdulillah. Hudhud comes in the Quran Kareem. It was a bird during the time of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. So, Mawlana Hamad also, he likes a name. Then you also keep it, inshallah.
My bird name is also Hudhud.
Oh, okay, alhamdulillah.
Okay, JazakAllah for this. So, taking the next question now, if a man is separated from his wife, is it permissible for him to look at another wife?
No, hold on.
If a man is separated from his first wife,
yeah,
is it permissible for him to look for another wife?
Yeah, he can look for another wife, no problem. Obviously, it is safer in this age that if he is separated from his wife, then inshallah he should try to look for another partner in life. It is absolutely permissible, and it will be rewardable for him to protect his dignity, honor, status, and protect his chastity.
We have another question here, Musab, on the screen in front of us, saying, a man and a woman got married and had two kids and got divorced and were separated for 11 years. And then we got back together again and had another child. And then they got divorced in court. And the husband does not want to give the talaq again. And according to the wife, according to the husband,
yeah,
the wife doesn't want to have nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with what?
with the marriage, with the divorce. What's Mufsab's opinion?
A court divorce is not an Islamic divorce. So that is sufficient ruling for that masala at the moment. Only I'm worried about that when they divorced and separated for 11 years, in the first divorce, how many times he divorced her? And then when he got back, that was it after she got remarried, or what happened? Was the second marriage a legal marriage, Sharia legal marriage or not? And in this case here, if they cannot manage again, then they should first of all go for counseling, try to reconcile, make up, patch up, and make that marriage work, and also failing which, then they can proceed with divorce proceedings. However, the court divorce is not a Sharia Islamic divorce.
Okay, another question on the screen in front of us. So when making qurbani, the people normally make zaba. They normally pierce the vein. Is it permissible?
They have to cut the windpipe and or the two jugular veins. That has to be cut. You do not have to pierce it. They have to cut it.
JazakAllah for that. Next question, sir. You go a little... Two, 3 minutes more, maybe. Assalamu alaikum. I would like to make a musalla out of sheepskin. Could Mufsa please tell me who could do this for me?
Go to the tannery, or maybe you can do it yourself if you phone most of the abattoirs. And now we have got many Muslim abattoirs. They have got a procedure of salting it, drying it, resalting it, and putting some chemicals on it. Phone some Muslim abattoir, those who slaughter on daily basis. And also you can source from your local butcher also. They will try to tell you how you can turn the sheep skin into a musalla. However, understand something here, that if it is of your wajib qurbani, then you cannot use that sheep skin for your musalla, because that has to be distributed. If it is of wajib sadqa, if it is your own qurbani, then you can utilize it.
Another question here in front of us. I wonder who does this. If one wants to make qurbani of a giraffe, where on the neck must he slaughter it?
First of all, I must check whether it is permissible to sacrifice a giraffe. And then I can make a ruling. And at the moment, I'm not clear whether you can sacrifice a giraffe. If it is hypothetically permissible, then it will be exactly like how you do the camel. You'll make nahar.
JazakAllah for that. Taking the next question now. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. My brother-in-law was out of a job. I received a grocery voucher and bought a few tins of food and gave it as a gift and gave it to him. He got upset and said that he does not want charity. Was I wrong in doing this or not?
You should, first of all, you were not wrong. Secondly, the next time, be more diplomatic. Say this is a gift. Don't say this is charity. It is written in the books of fiqh, even when you're giving zakat, and if you do not want to, and in most cases, in our scenarios, you should not humiliate any person, then you can say, I'm giving you a gift, or I'm giving you a loan, although you are giving zakat. So in this case, that to keep everybody happy, don't say that you are giving charity. And those who are giving charity, don't belittle people by saying, I'm giving charity. And also, do not tell people 10 years down the line that I gave you charity.
JazakAllah for that. Next question now. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib. I am experiencing irregular bleeding due to a medical problem. It's continuous for over a month. What is the mas'ala in regards to salah? And what is the procedure in regards to performing my salah?
Many questions have to be posed, but generally, that the last menstruation flow that you had, the time and the days, that will be taken into consideration, and the rest will be regarded as istihaza. However, to that caller, that source my house number, and then inshallah you can speak to my wife explaining in detail your problem.
Jazakallah. The question that we posed earlier on, the caller posed a question about the dhaba and piercing the vein. He just called back and said that it's a vein or a nerve behind the backbone that they pierce so that the animal doesn't feel pain and dies quickly.
If you want to do it, you may do it.
Okay, Jazakallah for that. Next question we have, can a woman paint her nails with Q-Tex?
If this, the caution must be that at the time of Salah, obviously before that you would make wuzu, so that the nail polish or Q-Tex, whatever it is, that it must be removed, because generally these nail polishes and Q-Tex, etc., they do not allow the water to permeate and the skin of the nail or the surface of the nail, the water does not touch, because the chemical or the fluid of that Q-Tex or the nail polish does not allow the water to permeate, to go through. When that happens, the wuzu is not valid. So on one side it is permissible, on the other side everything has to be removed prior to salat, prior to wuzu.
Jazakallah for that. Taking the next question now. Is it permissible to read salah with short sleeves?
Salah will be valid, but definitely that this is grossly unbecoming of a Muslim to stand before Allah Jalla Majdahu in that dress. It is completely against ethics and mannerism. And Allah Jalla Majdahu is clearly saying that we should dress properly when in front of our Rabb. So we should dress like how the ulama and how the pious dress before standing before our Rabb.
Jazakallah, sir. Last question. The first question is insurance permissible in Islam or not?
Short-term insurance, we are of the opinion it is permissible.
Jazakallah. Last question. The need to assist the poor is throughout the year. So can you calculate your zakah and give it out monthly to selected persons, because some people don't know how to budget. So give them a lump sum is senseless.
I totally agree that we should budget, we should space, we should aid according to need and necessity. And what the questionnaire has stated, that's very good to do. Because at times when you give a needy poor person too much of money at one time, they squander it unwittingly, unconsciously in the wrong avenues. So definitely space it, and that will help the person tremendously. And Allah reward that person who has thought that way.
One more question, sorry. We have one last question saying, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. I sold some sheep for Qurbani this year, and I was falsely accused of changing the animal. The person accused me of charging a high price, and I gave a small animal. However, it was picked by the customer itself. When it was the day of Eid, I was told that I changed it, and I could never do that. Not once was I ever so humiliated. Please advise what should be done. Jazakallah, brother in Islam, make dua for our ummah to receive hidayah.
If you are certain that you did not change that animal, and if your conscience is clear, and you are fearing Allah Jalla Majdahu, then obviously the person who purchased the animal is making a false accusation against you. However, that we have to listen to both sides of the story. If you are certain you have not changed the animal, then there is nothing wrong. You should not feel guilty.
We have one question saying, it's a request for dua. Saying, Assalamu alaikum, Muhtasab, please make dua and tell everybody else to make dua for Mawlana Muhammad Saeed Nawlaki. He is well, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him shifa kamila.
Inshallah, Allah ta'ala grant Mawlana Muhammad Saeed Nawlaki shifa kamila, ajila, mustamira, and all those who are sick and ailing, and all those who are recovering from operations, etc., and all those who are not well, Allah ta'ala grant them shifa kamila, ajila, mustamira.
JazakAllah for that, Muftazab. Sorry for taking up so much of your time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in your knowledge, inshallah. Look after you and your family. And we request for du'as as well, inshallah.
Inshallah. JazakAllah.
JazakAllah. Hayakallah. Assalamu alaikum.